Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Well, the New York Stock Exchange has reopened the world-famous trading floor after a two-month closure. The Dow Jones Index took the hurdle of 25,000 points. Is this a sustainable rally, or will we see maybe a crash again? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Eddin Aboumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. So good to see you guys.
Good morning.
Hi.
Peter, the floor just opened a few days ago. How's the feeling that, the traders can go back?
So I think it's important we talk about it. The reason that even though the economies are just now beginning to open up and the stock exchange was one of the last places to close in the event of the virus, I really believe that one of their motivations was symbolic and also financial, to basically give markets and the economy and the people, the globe, the investment community, the confidence that we are back on the floor, that the markets are open, and the New York Stock Exchange, being the great financial landmark that it is, the humans are back, and we are there to stand behind our word, as our word is our bond, as we talk about, right?
Your son is already back working at the New York Stock Exchange. What is he telling you? How's the atmosphere?
So obviously the atmosphere is a bit muted. There was a lot of excitement on day one. The governor of New York and the president of the Stock Exchange, Stacey Cunningham, and Governor Cuomo rang the opening bell, masks on, elbow bumps to a certain extent. But, you know, the fanfare was there to a certain extent. You know, obviously it's muted just because of the fact that we are running in a bit of a skeleton crew. They did everything in their power to get it open in a safe and smooth fashion. But we must be aware that there are standards in place which, you know, change the dynamic of a human market. I've already gotten the sense, as my son is there, I'm not there yet. He is in phase one. I will be there in phase two, that it's people are really happy to be back. There is no press. There is a bit of a quiet sense of the human interaction, which, because basically we're being given one shot here to get it right, get it safe. So while the excitement is around, I'm feeling more excitement from the investment community customers, that they're excited to know that we're open, even though from the inside look, it still seems a bit thin.
Peter, let's see what I got here. I know you know that one because you gave it to me. You always have these hats. I love it. It was 20,000. Now we already reached again the 25,000 points. Do you think this rally again is sustainable? It's healthy?
Well, you know, we spoke last week about the fact that why are we seeing such a divergence between the economy in such a state? Which we don't even know, so many unknowns going forward with unemployment and global shutdown economically, and the New York Stock Exchange and the markets around the world being in an incredible rally mode. And Salah and I spoke about it, that it's confusing, but we must come up with an explanation for it. And I offer the explanation of $5 trillion being thrown at the market, the Federal Reserve stepping in stimulus in all different ways, buying, you know, financial instruments and whatnot. But what I did find out since we spoke last, which is what is fascinating to me, is that I investigated a little bit and found out that in 2007, during the financial crisis, the Federal Reserve committed to a $2 trillion bailout package and stimulus package over 18 months. Okay, so they're building that spreadsheet, the balance sheet, and of bonds and other financial instruments and stocks and equities and bailouts and TARP package was over a year and a half. And even though we did see a strong recovery in 2007, what we're seeing here, which I think is contributing to this incredible short-term, fast and furious rally, is that we've already, in the first month and a half of this stimulus package, we've already seen a commitment of over $2 trillion. In 1 month's time. That in 07 was $2 trillion over 18 months. So that could explain this 60% Fibonacci retracement of the marketplace. Now, there is still another $2.5 trillion that will be coming into the market over the next year with potential more commitments. So while last week I spoke about perhaps once the market catches up with the economy, and I no wish no harm on the market, that we may see a retracement of March lows. But now with this little bit new bit of information that I found out about the timeline of the stimulus over time now, having boosted the $2 trillion fast and furious in 1 month, we may see a continuation of this rally for a little time to come.
I mean, speaking directly over the S&P 500, like you said, the 61 Fibonacci retracement, we moved over it, and now it's time to rescue and to take it as a support. Like you said, if this is happening, then we could see a further sustainable move to the upside. But I mean, the strength is not coming from fundamentals, like you said. It's quantitative easing, it's monetary policy from the Fed, and it's faster than in the times before. You're absolutely right, but times change. Times need to be faster, maybe, as a question. So for me, is the question in general, is that not just the euphoria like we talked about last week, that we just price in one scenario from a statistical point of view? Should we rather just price one scenario in? This is something which should be still seen carefully, Peter, right?
So I will retrace my last statement to say that I still believe cash is king at the moment. I agree with you in a big way. I think it's important to note that, you know, Anthony Scaramucci, right, one of the great hedge fund managers who went to work for Mr. Trump for a short period of 10 days, and now is sort of on the other team, right? He's going to work for Joe Biden now, potentially, spoke about the green tsunami that represents this rally, you know, and he's a rather bright man. And he spoke about that the market is completely up on the federal package and not up on fundamentals at all. And eventually that will come back to haunt the market, correct? We are seeing it, and we also mentioned it last week, is that, you know, the market goes up or down 1,000 points on one little tidbit headline, right? It's like orange is the new black. 1,000 is the new 100-point move, right? So we saw that euphoria over the possible human trials on a drug, and the market and the reopening, which we don't really know anything about, and we were up 1,000. And then we saw the Moderna news that was positive, up another 600. And then when the Moderna news got the rug pulled out from under it, it went down 700. So the market seems to be hyper-focused on individual bits of information and not a broad-based fundamentals rally. So I agree with you, Salah, in that way. We saw it happen yesterday. Market was heading above 3,000 in the S&P, above 25,000 in the Dow, right? And then we saw some information come out about a potential China situation with the president. And we saw the market's fragility, right? That on one little bit of a headline, and we've seen this over, not only since the crisis, but overall in a market that trades around headlines and hyper-focus, that one little dislocation in that kind of information level can really dislocate a market. And that for me causes fragility. That for me, I agree with you, shows that, you know, at the end of the day, this may come back to haunt the market. Markets that have been based on fundamentals, on earnings and guidance, on things we can sink our teeth into, will grow slowly in bottom left to upper right direction graphically. But markets that, even though this retracement has been huge and fast and furious, we know the reason for it, could get dislocated quite simply.
Absolutely. I mean, look on price earnings. All around the world, they are on highs. On a 10-year average, they are reaching their range on highs. And one risk what I see, because worldwide, technology stocks are pushing northwards like there's nothing else. But we need to remind something. The Nasdaq, 50% of its market capitalization is made by Amazon, Google, Facebook. These are all this FANG stocks, actually. A United Airlines stock is also listed in the NASDAQ. I know that they are affected heavily on Corona, but nobody sees anything. So a lot of fund managers are invested in those five stocks. Do we have worldwidely actually a huge concentration risk on at least five stocks?
You know what? It's funny how, as I said, the market gets super high focused, right? The market has been flying for a year and a half, 2 years, right? For all number of reasons, partly because the economies globally seem strong, but even this rally in the eyes of the Trump presidency it's been questionable because we've seen these volatile 1,000-point moves on a daily basis pre-crisis, right? We've saw a high-flying market top out on, you know, let's go back to September of 2018 when the market hit that record high. Mm-hmm. And then all because of the China crisis and the perfect storm, we saw the market spiral down 2,500 points from that October high to that December 25th, that Christmas Day low, correct? And the people had gone from a 20% profitable rally in the year to losing money, and right, and everyone was just, there was margin calls, there was shock and awe and all that. And then we proceeded to come into January and the market rebounded. So I think we, you know, these are new norms. We have to readjust our playbook, the way we analyze technicals and the way we analyze fundamentals and the way we look at markets. And the fact that markets can be affected by social media in such a huge way, the information highway due to headlines, it diverts people's attention from fundamentals, right? I can only imagine when I listen to some of these big hedge fund managers, right? Not the big guys who can move a stock, the Carl Icahns and the Bill Ackermans who are sitting at home. I mean, you know, nothing bad about them, but those are not the guys. I'm talking about people who are really running some mid to high wealth money. And you're looking at, I know the people who I represent sometimes, my company represents, can see $1 million swings intraday. Right. Let's say you have a hedge fund that's $300-$500 million, and you're taking positions on fundamentals, and we've seen it over the last year. And then suddenly a tweet comes out about China, and then your position over the, you know, which was based on analysis and study and guidance and earnings and so much work, your position that you've been building over 3 months can be decimated in the millions of dollars in moments, right? So that stress, as you talk about, that's exposure, that's stress, and that leaves the investment community, in a quandary.
Absolutely. To bring back the good old Dow, a trend, an upward trend, of course, is always a trend if we see higher highs and higher lows. This is what we need to expect to see a further rally. So we are in an election year. Election years are typically statistically good equity years, especially re-election years. To make a long story short, so what do you think? Do we will have a nice, good election rally year, or is this year something completely different?
I think it's really important to note that this is nothing to do with the, there's no way to compare this to any other historic event, mm-hmm. right? As I said to you before, never before in history of mankind have we ever seen an event that has basically scorched the lives or touched the lives of every human being on earth, right? From the mountaintops of the Himalayas to Antarctica, right? There is not a soul on earth who has been affected by this. And then on top of that, you've got we've never seen an economic slowdown, a lack of demand due to shelter in place. We've never seen bankruptcies the way we have seen before. We've never seen a situation where financials meet health, right? And the well-being of our, as I think we described, but we should talk about at some point, the feeling I felt that last week, people asked me on the week of March 10 to March 15th, the week when the president announced that this was a pandemic, and that the markets here in the United States started to sell off. We had circuit breakers 3 days in a row. And then it led into the, you know, to that the sell-off into the March 23rd thing. That is there a way, have I ever experienced anything like this before in the marketplace? Can we compare this to the crash of 87 or the financial crisis? And I said, by no means. I see it in the face of my fellow traders that, first of all, their worry is, are their mother and fathers are going to be okay? Their wives or their spouses or their significant others, their part life partners, are they going to be healthy, and their children, and then their 401ks, and then their jobs, and then basically life as we know it. So I think all of these things are a huge factor that we need to weigh on. And I don't know, you know, this is a administration and a presidency like no other. This is going to be an election year like no other. This is an election year, yes, that historically have always been bullish years, but this administration is such a wild card in so many ways, economically, market-driven, and then on top of it, to have the headwinds and the devastating reality of 20+% unemployment, 40 million people whose insurance will run out soon, and companies going bankrupt, and the worldwide stress with whatever's going to happen between China and the United States, what's happening with oil, the lack of demand for commodities. These are things that I think are going to weigh heavily. And I think that this is a story that's evolving day to day now. And I appreciate that we speak about it on a weekly, because we don't know what is going to, well, you know, this is the, we have an the hare or the turtle. Who is going to win this race here? The different narratives. Is the market going to catch up with the economy? Is the economy going to catch up with the market? Is the presidency and the new election going to take on a whole a world of its own? Are we going to start bringing up new problems to divert our attention from 100,000 deaths in the United States? Is this administration going to start causing confrontations with China, with Russia, Saudi Arabia, God knows where? Just think about it. Pre-crisis, we were about to go to war with Iran. That story lasted a couple of weeks. Then we have a crisis, which is going to be ongoing for a long time. If you listen to people in the know in the medical field, it may not be 2 to 3 years before we will be able to feel comfortable to come up to each other on the street and have a handshake, to sit in a movie theater next to each other, and to have life anywhere like we know it today. So I cannot answer that question with anything more than I don't know.
Thank you, which is sometimes I don't know is sometimes the best way to answer on a question. It was, I think, the best I don't know that I ever heard.
Thank you.
Peter, another question. There is this old rule, sell in May and don't forget to come back in September. But statistically, it's really like this. The month of July, August and September are weaker months in Germany for the DAX index. I think the US indices are stronger. But what do you expect for this summer? Weaker indices?
So, you know, the line is sell in May and go away, right? And though that did work for many, many years, I would think that over the last 3 years, it works sometimes and not. I kind of think, as we discussed the market, you know, it's fascinating, you know, markets for me, as you know, and I think all three of us share the love of it. You know, we used to spend months analyzing and experiencing, you know, loving the markets and watching them trade and analyze them, now is a day-to-day experience, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a joke here in America. If you know, there's the city of Boston has a weather trend that is very, you know, very odd. And they say, if you don't like the weather today, wait a minute, right? Because it may be sunny today and snowing tomorrow. And I think we're seeing that with the markets right now. Will be a sell in May and go away? You know, there's one part of me, and I will override it by saying I don't know once again, but I think it's a matter of what we hang our hat on. If the way we started out our interview today, and that they start coming up with more stimulus over there, it really, you know what it will depend on? It will depend on the reopening worldwide, okay? You know, I think Germany's done a better job in containing the virus than we. We're seeing a huge spike in Indonesia. South America and Central America is just starting to feel the ramifications of this virus now. Brazil is being shut off from the United States, I believe, today, within the next few days, right? And so I really believe one of the preeminent situations that will affect the sell in May and go away posture will be how the reopening goes, right? Let's remember, you reopen on a Memorial Day, people who happen to have been sitting in a swimming pool in Missouri without masks or social distancing are not going to get sick on Monday or Tuesday. It takes 2 weeks. So yeah. Let's just look at science, right? Science, and not some crazy guy's opinion who runs around with orange hair and we don't really know what's going on there. We don't have testing in place, tracing in place, and all of that. So all that being said, I think, what will the reopening look like? What will the stimulus and Federal Reserve package look like? And I would imagine that whatever, however we handle this, oh, as I say, this is a story that will be evolving every day now, right? So I think we really will have to take it a week at a time to see whether that old premise of sell in May and go away works. How that will affect European markets, I'm not clear. You guys are more stable in your administration. Your economies also have been ravaged by this. And of course, I think if we're able to lead the way in a positive way, market and economically, you hopefully will follow. But I'm sure, once again, my best answer would be I'm not sure yet.
And our chancellor has no orange hair, I can tell you that. Peter, today is Monday, so anything you keep an eye on this week?
Yes. So I think it's important to note that this ever-evolving story about testing, right? We are now finding out, you know, that these antibody tests are not correct. You know, there was this race, there was a race, obviously, and the motives, I believe, were good, but there was a race to find tests, vaccines, treatments for this virus, because we saw, never before in history, a whole global economy come to a complete shutdown. So what ends up happening when things happen too quickly, too fast, you end up having some bad players in the game, and you end up having some decisions that were made. We saw it with hydroxychloroquine and whatnot, that that they may not be as accurate as we need to. And actually, that has such a huge effect on everything. If we're trying to establish testing and tracing to be able to make decisions about reopening, and the tracing and testing is not accurate, well, then we could be in a jam. So I think the coming weeks are going to be the ever-evolving story about a vaccine and testing. I think it will be on what kind, where our administration in the United States tends to focus their attention, whether we're going to go up against China on an accusation that this virus was caused by them and infiltrated by them and attacking the WHO or whatnot. Are we going to have a reopening that is a safe one without spiking? Or are we going to just have a continuous battle on who's telling the truth and what's the real story? My fear is that we may see a spike in the viruses, which is something I would never hope on. At the end of the day, though, it's important to note, whatever happens now, best case scenario, we get a vaccine and whatnot, then how many people, there was a study that came out yesterday that said, even if we have a vaccine by September, only 51% of the population, I'm not sure if it's globally or in the United States, would be willing to be vaccinated. Well, yeah. Where does that leave us? So at the end of the day, there will always be this trust, distrust, right? We talked about it last week once again, that just reopening, best case scenario, does not mean that people will have the confidence to go back in and become active physical consumers once again. And all of these things are still going to affect earnings and guidance for the next 6 months on all these industries, whether it's flying, whether it's sports, whether it's hospitality, whether it's theme parks, or any of these things, or all the economies, brick and mortar, retail, all these things. As Sala said earlier, you know, the vibrant social media tech companies, which are benefiting in so many ways, the Amazons, by all power to them, by the, they're not taking advantage of the virus, but they've postured themselves to be profitable within the virus space are a very small grouping. There are 95% of the companies are not in that space making money from that. So while there's a little bit of hope and wonder with the biotech space and in the tech space, the majority of companies are still, I believe, going to be suffering some pain, best case scenario, over the next 6 months. So that's kind of what I'm seeing unfold on a daily basis.
Peter, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, and Sala Idinabumidi, head of markets at IG. Guys, I hope you have a great week.
Thank you so much. Good luck. Happy trading.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. More on for information on IG.com. I'm Manuel Koch. See you next week.